Rhonda mentioned gray hair earlier. In our society, gray-haired people are usually frequently thought to be useless. We're not productive anymore. We move slow. We walk slow. We drive slow.
That's why you don't get kidnapped.
There you go. Nobody's going to kidnap us. We're useless. The Bible addresses that. Yahweh knows. He knows what we're going through. Yeshua knows what we're going through. He has compassion. Okay, Proverbs 16, verse 31. Gray hair is a glorious crown. There it is. It is found in ways of righteousness. And in Leviticus, I had it marked, but I only have two hands. Leviticus chapter 14 is about the Jewish priesthood and the jobs that they do and how they do them. This part is about evaluating skin diseases and declaring it clean or unclean. Leviticus 14, verse 31. Oh, go on it, I lost it. It's on the other page. Sorry for the delay. I lost it again. The print is very small. Okay. Just because a man is bald does not mean he has leprosy. Right there in Leviticus. It's a priestly standard. And there's more. And just because he's bald on his forehead does not mean he has leprosy. He is clean. There it is. So when you see an old person, what a lot of people think, they're slow. I'm going to get around them. They drive slow. I'm going to pass them. I don't want to be around an old person. So every place I go, pretty much every place I go, I look around, and I'm the oldest guy there. I look around the room today, and I'm the oldest one here. What's up with that? Well, it just means I've survived. Whatever has happened to an old person in their entire life, they're still here, and that means they've survived. So we don't know what they've been through. Looking at me, you think, well, that's just an old guy down the road. But I've had a life. I've survived. And so has every other old person. So I asked an old guy one time in my, before we came here, Cindy and I were ministers in a, we had an apartment house. Our church converted a nursing home, former nursing home, into apartments. And we housed old people. And so I would talk to them. It's not like me to talk to somebody. I'm pretty quiet usually. But I try to be relational, and so I stretch myself and talk to him. And so I talked to one guy, and I said, what did you do when you were working? Because he's just an old guy, could barely walk, sat down a lot. So he said, well, I'm not sure what to call it, but I worked for a car dealer. And I said, oh, you washed cars or fixed them? He said, no, we put them together. I said, didn't that happen at the factory? And he said, no. In those days, in the 20s and 30s, they put cars in a box, and the dealer got a box with a car in it, and they had to be put together. And so I put the cars together in the dealership. He said, you know what a dealer prep charge is? And I said, yeah, I bought a new car when I got out of the Army, and I paid a dealer prep charge. They put the hubcaps on, and they washed it. And it was several hundred dollars. He said, nope. Dealer prep charge came from us guys who put the cars together out of a wooden crate. Car came in several different parts and several different crates, and we put them together right there. So I know. I couldn't tell by looking at him that he put cars together, but he did. I asked another guy, what did you do when you were working? What kind of work did you do? He said, oh, I electrified the state of Kansas. And I said, what? He said, yeah, when electricity first started being used, He was really old. He said people didn't know how to use it, and they didn't have anything that used electricity. So we put electricity in these people's houses in the rural areas in Kansas, mostly rural areas, all over Kansas. Kansas mostly farms. So we installed electric lines and ran them into the house and showed people how to use electricity. I said, how did they use electricity if they didn't have any appliances? And he said, we put lights. So all over Kansas, they put yard lights in houses so people would have electricity and they could learn how to use it. Some old guy, he's just an old guy, living in a former nursing home. Cindy made hundreds of meals every day, pretty much by herself with a little bit of help for these people like that. And it was just an amazing ministry. We worked together with Greg and Wanda in that ministry, and that's where we met. It's just amazing. So when you look at an old person, I do anyway, I wonder, where have they been? What have they survived? What have they lived through? What has Yahweh brought them here for? And what can they tell me about their life? They have all had a life, and we have no idea. You look at Colleen, you don't know she's been an Army nurse. She's a veteran. Who knew? And there's every one of us is like that. We have no idea by looking at somebody. But the Bible says, gray hair is a righteous thing. So I'm believing it. So, thank you.
Amen.
Laura's next. Oh, no.
I'm going to let you come and talk real quick. I noticed we mentioned that we spend in a couple hours, sometimes more or less, in God encounters. Sometimes your God encounters don't happen in a two-hour time frame. Sometimes they last a lot longer. Sometimes they last all day. It depends. And by that, I mean, you know, pray without ceasing. How do you do that? Well, sometimes it's not about just praying. You could just be talking to God while you're working all day long. And, you know, we have been taught that praying means stop, bow your heads, and talk to God for a few minutes and say a few things and whatever. And amen is done, and then you're done for the day or the hour or the meal or whatever. Some of my best God encounters have been riding down the road. And you got to pay attention to the road. The ones that make me nervous is when the road disappears, because that will happen too. So you got to be prepared to pull off the road sometimes. You just never know if you're encountering God, what He has in store, you know. And sometimes you might miss a turn. And I always look at things like that. I missed a turn because I was talking to you. Okay, so there's another one down the road. GPS is arguing with me, telling me to make a U-turn. Sometimes I don't make that U-turn. Sometimes I just go do something different because he said, you need to go here instead. So sometimes your God encounter is just not having to stop for 2 hours in your day. You can do it all day long. You can pray all day long. You can talk to God all day long. I talk to him in my sleep often. Sometimes he just wakes me up because I won't shut up, I guess. I don't know. But when I wake up, I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want? It used to be, why am I up? It's 2 a.m. What now? I don't do that anymore. I always still ask the question, not in the same manner. I'm like, okay, so what is it, Lord? Now, Rhonda has a tendency to get up, turn the light on, and read or write, or something like that. I used to do that. I found it kept me awake the rest of the day, and by afternoon, I was done. So now, I just try to remember it. And sometimes that works really well, because I remember the things I'm supposed to. And, you know, sometimes you have dreams or visions, and you don't need to remember everything in it, because sometimes your body, your brain throws things in it that try that VLE is trying to make sense at 3 a.m. Why are you up? It checks your body. Let's see, okay, is your body hurting? Is this going on? What are you thinking about? No, stop. Stop trying to figure it out. Okay, Lord, you woke me up. Now what? Now, who are we praying for? Usually I just ask, who are we praying for? Because sometimes he brings faces. That's usually what I see first. Not names, faces. And then my brain's got to search for the name that goes with it. Because he doesn't always tell me their name. I just see a face, and I'm like, oh, okay, I need to pray for them. I don't know what's going on. And then I go back to sleep. I can go back to sleep. Rhonda will tell you, I can definitely go back to sleep. And sometimes I'll even miss the alarm clock. I have been late getting to work because he woke me up in the middle of the night. I didn't hear the alarm. I slept through it, and I didn't show up for work on time. Boss didn't like it. I think God was happy. I'm more happy with him than I am with the boss. The boss ain't going to be there forever. You know, he's just not. Especially if he's old and gray hair, you know. As long as he ain't got leprosy, I'm good. So sometimes your God encounters are not just a two-hour thing. Sometimes they're 15 minutes. And sometimes it's just a word. Sometimes he just gives you one word. And you might have to just go with that one word. Wait for the second word or say it out loud and wait and see what happens. Sometimes, especially if you're going to prophesy or something like that, he might just give you one word. You're communicating. You are encountering God. And he gave you one word, chicken. So you go, chicken. Now you're waiting for your brain to finish it up, you know, because your VLA has nothing to do with that. It can't. It's going to try to make a story up, remember? But you're really waiting on God to give you the rest of it. So, anyway, just remember, it's not always 2 hours.
When I thank the Lord, I've had that one word that Danny's talking about. Oh, better? Oh, closer to my mouth. Okay. I've had the one word, stand. That Danny's saying is true. And I'm like, stand, that's all I got. At first it was stand on, stand off, stand fast, stand firm. But then the main word was stand. And then everything broke loose. But I was like, there got to be more to it than that. So I went to this conference, and I'm trying to talk to the speaker 4 days. Finally, what did he give me? The word stand. When you've done all you could do, stand. But I thank God for that word, because I went through tumultuous times, including cancer, and I had to learn to stand on a deeper level, spirit, soul, and body. And to his glory, he has healed me. But at the end of it, I was still leaning on my husband a whole lot. And I still do on many levels, because there's times where I have the energy and God's still strengthening me in other areas. But I had somebody invite me, her name is Tennille, to the farm. And I came here and I was in Shiloh with Sally and Dee and Kelly, and we made family. And one of the words that the Lord had given us, given me and my husband for years, is he wants the family of God. He wants the bride of Christ to come into unity in one mind, one accord. And he wants us to learn how to flow in his presence. And when I came here, I had had God encounters but didn't know what they were. I just knew I was having experiences with the Lord. And he had brought me through different healings, but then Rhonda was teaching, and it just blew me away, like, this is that. That's what I've been dealing with on and off, but still didn't learn how to surrender and all this other stuff. And I went to Cindy G, and I says, I don't want to leave. I want to stay. I feel safe here. This is the first time I felt safe in years. And I was able to stand, and I was able to be me again on some level with strength without leaning on my husband so hard. So I give God glory for that, and for the training and the equipping and the love that is in abundance here. It's overwhelming when you've been going without for so long. You know, I was in fighting, and it was like we were basically, we had some people coming in and out, but for the most part, we were on our own through that whole process. And our kids took a toll, and we took a toll, but God surrounded us with love at the right time. And when I came here, I just felt like overwhelmed with the love of the Father. And I want to thank him for that. And I get home, and I tell Victor, I says, I think we're supposed to go to the brain conference. This is in December. And he's like, I don't know. He says, I don't know if we have the money. And doing a prayer, and God gives me the how-to. And we come out, and there's somebody standing over there. And we come walking in, and she looks at me, and I look at her. I know her by face, but I didn't know her, you know. And all of a sudden, I was like, you're here. And she's like, yeah, you're here. And we're looking at each other, not knowing each other, really. And we both break down crying, I missed you. Because it's such a connection in the Lord. He makes that connection that we can't make it ourselves. We can have all the tea parties and all the get-togethers, but Holy Spirit makes that thing that's so ushy-gushy, honey love inside our spirit that brings that connection that you can't get away from. And I thank God for that. And then next thing you know, Dee comes running across, you're here, you're here. And, you know, I hadn't told her I was coming. I didn't tell Sally I was coming. And he's like, honey, you only went there for a few days. He says, and these people are coming after you, and they're hugging you, and Sally's coming up to me, and Kelly's coming up, because we made family. You know, and I really believe this place has this thing inside of us that he's making himself so real. This is real family. This is my kingdom. This is all that I've been asking for. And to sit there and explain it to people, we really, it's just an example of his love. It's an example of just smiling and making people feel like they belong. And that sense of belonging has grasped my husband and I to the point where we came back out again, even for our anniversary. And it went deeper. We're sitting there crying because we were overwhelmed with love. And then we came out again and we're learning. And I'm like, this is amazing that we're learning this. And I'm like, and again, it's so different. It's the same, but different. But when we went to the intensive, that's when the rumbling started. And stuff started surfacing. And I'm going to Rhonda. I says, I'm really messed up. And in the meantime, I'm supposed to learn to facilitate while all this stuff is surfacing. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know if I could do this, you know? But I talked to Rhonda and I talked to Cindy and she prayed with me. And Holy Spirit would just show up and shove me to the side because I asked him to just take over. And I just thank God for that, because in doing all that and learning how to just be his vessel to his glory, we were able to even go deeper with relationships and share our hearts with each other and then learn, well, what you have is feeding me and what I have is feeding you. And we're making that safety net in his kingdom where if somebody falls, they're not falling down. We have somebody to pick each other up. And I thank God for that. I thank God for this place, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he's doing next, because we feel like this is just home, and it's definitely a place we've been telling everybody about. And I thank God for the sisters that I had in our group, that when the storms came, we were able to stand and link arms and learn to love in a newer way, and that it became a strength to us instead of a weakness and a deficit. So wherever we're being hit up, that's because something great is on the way. And we've seen people set free from the deepest, darkest places. And God just went in there, and he just loved them out of that place. And I thank God for that, you know. In the middle of it, somebody got filled with joy. And next thing you know, we're singing, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. And I go to the market with Kelly, with Victor, and the group. And Kelly's like, Sally's going to love this song. And next thing you know, we go to Shiloh, and family got together again. And we're singing and worshiping the Lord, and freedom's breaking loose. And the joy of the Lord is just breaking loose. And I just give him all the glory, because you never know what he's going to have you do. And you think it's only one song, but it's his glory just wanting to break through. So I thank God for that, you know. And I thank God for all of you. You know, when we sit there and think of the farm. We don't think about just one person. We think of family. So we want to thank you for everybody that's here, that's been praying for us before we even got here. And for those of you that are gentle protectors that could really teach us how to become gentle protectors. And most of all, we thank God for his love and his presence and his glory.
Amen. I'm gonna play this song. She sent it to me. It's bubbling. It gets stuck in your, let's see if my phone's gonna work inside this. Yep. I don't want crypto. Amen. All right. Greg, did you want to say something? You were headed up. I never heard it before.
So all these testimonies struck me. It helps me especially. All of us who have been here for so long, for a long, long time, we take this community for granted a lot of times, and we don't realize what we've got here. So it's awesome to hear and to refresh ourselves in what this is all about. And the community, the life of Yahweh, his presence, and so forth. So I don't want to be like other old men who do tell stories, and long-winded stories. So, but I do want to share a little bit on my journey. Sorry, I couldn't help it.
At least I don't have leprosy.
Yes, that's right. So, my journey has been really interesting in the sense that back in the days that Al was talking about, I was really connecting with the Lord. It was really these intimate times that Brian was talking about and refreshing and wonderful. And as time has gone on, things have changed. And the reason I believe that they're changing is because there's a season, and perhaps all of us go through it, where He wants to go deeper in our lives and reveal some stuff that we didn't know was there. So for Him to go silent is a very difficult place to be, but it's a place where He's wanting to expose some things as to why this silence is happening. And in my case, He's helping me understand the relational side of community, the relational side of life and so forth, because I have come from a very left brain sort of life. My parents, that's the way we were brought up, went to engineering college. That's a very left brain activity. I went to a graduate school where we did business administration stuff. And that I'm reflecting on after all this teaching, that was really pretty much a left brain sort of thing. And my career in management, we were after management. We were after results. And we didn't really focus on the relational side of things. So I was looking at the emotional maturity assessment questions. And the first one, do you avoid conflict? Yes, with a capital Y-E-S. And do you avoid people who upset you? Yes. Do you use negative emotions? Shame, anger, fear, disgust to control people or outcomes? Yes. When conflict arises, do you make people choose sides? Yes. So I realized how emotionally immature that I am in this and relational. So I had this wonderful opportunity last night to put into practice in a small way what we've been learning here. So we had a hailstorm a few weeks ago, not so much here, but in the city. And the house that we have in Olathe got really trashed, the roof, really, really bad. And siding and so forth. So as these roofer people do, they come around and they say, we will take care of you, let us know about the insurance and so forth. So this one fella came by and talked with David. David and Sarah live there in that house. And he said, hey, we do quality work, really good work, will really push on your insurance company to make sure we get all the money we need to do this. And well, it's turnkey, the roof, the siding, even your outbuilding. We'll take care of the whole thing. Just give us the check that the insurance company gave you and you're good to go. So David looked up and saw some good reviews on this company. And I said, yeah, I think we probably ought to go with them. So he sent me a contract, and I just didn't have a good feeling about this. And so I called the fellow that originally did the roof on that house and asked him if he's still in business. Oh, yeah. And we ended up talking for probably 45 minutes because he is just entering into some prostate cancer treatments. And I said, I want to share some things with you. And we had a great talk, and he's a believer and so forth. And I just at the end of that conversation, I need to go with this guy. I don't want to go with the original guy for the roof here. So I called the original guy back who was waiting for me to sign that contract. And in the past, I would have come up with some kind of a left-brain explanation why his contract was not to my liking, this or that or whatever. And in the past, then the guy would respond and say, well, we'll fix it this way, we'll do it this way, and so forth. And then I'm stuck because now I have to come up with more reasons why, left-brain reasons why. And I thought, you know, that's not a very effective, and it's not relational. So from what I've learned in the conference here, I said, let's do this more relational. So I called him and I said, hey, Travis, have you ever made a big decision in your life based on intuition? And that kind of caught him off guard a little bit and said, well, yeah, I think I have. And I said, well, you know, I just am not feeling right about this thing. It's an intuition thing. It's not your contract. Your contract makes sense. I mean, you got the numbers. It all makes sense. And so he asked a few questions, but at the end of it, he said, well, yeah, okay, understand. That's where you're at, and we're good. We're good. And so we closed the discussion. And afterwards, I thought, you know, that was very good. We ended on a positive note. And so this relational thing does kind of work. So in any event, I've got a long journey to go here, as you can see. But I appreciate the fact that we are a community and you all can be helping me become more mature in my relational skills. Important thing that I forgot, and that is this left brain thing is kind of like a technical nerd, you know what that is? And so that got exposed. Sorry. And so that's gotten exposed this week as well, because there were two occasions where Suzanne had to fix my collar on my shirt. It was all tucked in on my deal, and then this morning it was kind of weird. And so I left the house being a nerd. But community got me squared away.
Okay. Sometime trying to, yes.
I have to say, I went to Sally. She was in the kitchen. Okay. His sweatshirt, his collar was stuffed inside his sweatshirt. And I'm like, can I fix your collar? And I brought it out, and it was all blue and plaid. And it looked so nice. And he was so cute and sweet about it. And I went in the kitchen. I said, Sally, I just had the best moment with Greg. It was just so fun. We just so connected. And then this morning, his collar was all cattywampus. And like, can I fix your collar again? It was so relational, Greg. It was so fun just because of our relational connection.
Huh. Oh, I was beginning with sometimes putting thought, words to share. Interesting. I love what we have experienced together these weeks. Together. I begin with this, just a thought. Look at, let's pick a point, the Big Dipper. Pick one star on the bottom of the Big Dipper and go to the other side. What is that distance? Now, take a tree. It keeps growing. It keeps growing. Yes, there is an end to a tree, but that's not who we are. Here's a thought that I am just so blown away by this. It says that the solar system, do we say solar system or the universe, is increasing. I mean, this is what I've been hearing. But I want to hit back to what I've been hearing this week. So the increase, the solar system is increasing. So let's go back to the Big Dipper, the distance. I want to say this. I have my right and left brain. God wants to bring truth. Sometimes, I'm just saying this in my thoughts. I have a distance, and yet our brains, what I see is that, oh my goodness, what the Lord wants, no, we're not a tree, but we're like that tree. We're like the universe that just wants to explode and bring truth into who we are. I mean, that is what I'm seeing. So, and I got to sit down. So, in what was shared this week, or shared about the, okay, implicit and explicit. I mean, I've been listening to another way of looking at it, but I think it's the same. Because you try to, well, what's the truth of this? So what was shared this week was about, when you were sharing about the implicit and the explicit, I was undone. I'm going, well, that's not what I understand, but that's okay. I told the Lord this week, I said, Lord, I thank you that I am discombobulated. It's a good thing. But what, I mean, I'm like, this is like, it's fun, but it's like, okay, so here, I'm going to go to this. This is what I've been trying to do, because I've been trying to hit on what you were sharing, like, the implicit is, okay, I'm like, but I'm going to go to the place of when I had no ability. And what I mean by that, where I was a child, where would they say 2 + 2 = 4? In other words, what I'm doing is trying to simplify it, but I'm saying at the same time about the heavens, that God wants to speak truth. And to experience that in everyday life. It's like, Lord, how can I look at things in my life and what you want to speak in what I'm doing? And what are you saying? So why would I say 2 + 2 = 4? And what I'm understanding is that, well, first I had to come to that understanding. And to me, that is the implicit. The explicit is, oh, my left brain goes, oh, I know what that means. But I'm saying that is what I'm understanding. But going, wait a minute. This is a challenge I've been looking at. Again, I'm going to say, the heavens, God wants to come. He's given me a brain that wants to experience who he is. And it's like, okay, so 2 + 2 = 4. What about that? And I was given a ruler as a young kid. Well, you look at that ruler, well, what does that mean? I know it, 2 + 2 = 4, because I saw the teacher say 2 + 2 = 4. Yeah, you got the right answer. But what I'm getting at, I don't know. But to me, it's not coming up. I found this interesting, what I've been looking at going, and looking at going, I'm saying this is for me. I don't think I'm alone. I'm always looking for answers. But the answer is not the thing. The answer is to go deeper. But I'm going, for me, it's like, oh my goodness, Lord, what I'm hearing is, maybe I just leave it at that, because it's, again, it's a journey where it's the Lord. I'm going to say that it's the Lord and what he wants to show us and to experience that in everyday life. And what's that look like? Well, moment by moment, day by day. But again, I don't want to put my stuff on it, but I want to say that it's like, I'm undone by what was shared, but I'm like, I like it. I like it. So it's
a little cheat note on how to remember which is implicit and which is explicit. Implicit starts with an I, it's invisible. Implicit's what's behind you, it's invisible to you. It's memories that you've stored away and don't want to look at. Explicit is like an extrovert, it's in your face. Explicit memories are the memories you can pick up. Like I can right now remember last night at the table, everybody's birthday party. That's explicit. It's not stored away. It's not hidden. It's right here. I can pull it up at any time and review that. It's like an extrovert. They right here in front of you.
That's good. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you, Dave. I just want to jump on the gratitude bandwagon up here because these 3 weeks have been remarkable to be with each of you. Like, watching you drive past, being up here with you in the teaching is, it's like, seriously, I look in your eyes and it's like a joy bomb goes off every time. So it's been a real blessing to have you here, each one of you. And I want to thank you all who came out to community service. Like, we planted 470, was it 70 or 80 potatoes? Almost 500 potatoes. And we did that in 2 hours, okay? That's remarkable. We also got 2 full sections of the Alpha Garden completely prepared and ready for planting, which could take months. And we've done that in 3 weeks for 2 hours in the afternoon, 2 times a week. Like, you guys, this is remarkable. This is the Lord. But it took your yes, and you guys all showed up. No matter how much time you did, it doesn't matter because the Lord was with us and it happened. And it's so beautiful, and I just really want to say thank you for that because Danny, what he said, the Lord is everywhere. He is everywhere. He's in that garden. He's here right now. He's, when you're walking down the road, he's in the horses, he's in the plants, he's in the trees. He's everywhere. You draw near to him, he will draw near to you, no matter where you are. So the encounters are going to just keep going. I just really want to say thank you for being willing to come out, because you made it possible for all of us to be at the training. So thank you.
And if you do the math on the potatoes, plants that were planted, that means we're going to harvest over 4,000 potatoes. Yeah. Yeah. So that puts it in perspective.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What a beautiful birthday celebration to hear all this and experience. Wow. Never even thought about it till that moment right there. You know, you think about your whole life and what it comes to, and you go down to like, okay, what are we doing? Why are we, you know, we all have that in our life. And, you know, Laura, as you were sharing, like, you know, we all go through whatever we're going through in our life and not knowing unto what. And then the Lord just all of a sudden is opening our eyes. And Dee, just now when you're speaking, and actually really it's been kind of happening, I just realized it just now, throughout the day and just hearing testimonies and so much. Like right now I'm thinking about, there's just so much going through my heart and head about purpose and thinking about, you know,
I love you, Dave. I just have so much love right now.
As I was hearing you, I was thinking about what you're saying and thinking about, like, what does this all mean? And it's really about what is in the heart of man. And everything Rhonda's poured out, it's onto something so great. And it is about the bride. It's really about the bride, because all this, there's been times throughout this 3 weeks, man, where I'm just like struggling. But unto what? Today made it all worthwhile. Because as we're going through and we're going through the day, and you're like, man, Lord, there's still, Greg, what you said, where Greg is so beautiful and humble, and it's that place that God wants to get to, where we're, what Brian experienced, this place, like, oh, wow, God, you know what? You're so much greater than my problems. You're so much greater than my weakness. So much greater than my shortcomings and the things that I didn't know and the ways that I operated out of my understanding of what life was. That was right for you as an engineer. You know, the calculating, you know what I'm saying? It was like, but wait, God's going, there's something I want you to know. And like, well, Dave, when you were just talking about, like, what's the distance, you know, in the Big Dipper? What is it? And then you bring it down and you go, okay, well, what's the distance from here to here, from my brain to my heart? And, you know, from what's the distance between my encounter or my, you know, what's going on in my head where all of a sudden the Lord meets us and the Father just embraces us and he just goes, all right, I love you, you know. And all this is coming together as like something so much greater that in the spirit we have no idea what is moving on in our hearts right now, what is happening. And Dee, when you were sharing that, the multiplication of bodies to coming together, you know, you're coming here for something. You're coming here to receive and bring back. And yet along the way, you're also pouring out. And in all of us, and, you know, Tammy, like you were saying, Dee, like you just look at her and smile, just like, whoa, like she came and sat down at the table with us last night at the birthday celebration and just looked over and she just smiled that big old smile. It's like, wow, just life-giving, and aloha dancing. And, you know, just you take the body and you put it all together and you go, oh, my gosh, you're an amazing God. Like, you're just like, it's like, you know, the stars, when they go flying across the sky, and you're like, wow, God, you are awesome. He's like a meteor shower in here all the day long, you know. And it's such a beautiful, glorious body just to celebrate what he's doing. And I was thinking, Dave, as you were talking about, we can throughout life become, if you will, just in the trenches, or, you know, feeling like, here we go, another day or whatever. But it is unto something. And I just wanted to say, to recognize what all is poured out in each staff member here to have made this happen and what happens like behind the scenes. And yesterday, just an example of the past 2 days, recognizing how what it means to overcome and yet still carry the joy. Like my brother, we had a situation at the goat barn where all of a sudden there's a flood, there's water everywhere. And, you know, you guys come up here, do what you do. We get to Rhonda, doesn't even probably know about it. We just get to go through life. But then in the trenches, there's all of a sudden this problem. And it's like everything shifted. And I had plans for the day. And as sometimes happens, we have a new plan for the day. And it's getting, and I mean, it was not, I'm going to just get a little descriptive. It was an overcoming of big ways. A lot of ingenuity, a lot of force, a lot of strength, a lot of will, and Dave and I, and Dave primarily putting his brain behind, and then trying something different. We strip the threads, then we break the rod, then we break it some more, then we pull on this, and we try that, we get this puller and that puller, and we try everything to get this out, and it's not working. I'm not talking like a little bit of effort. This is hours and hours and hours of work. Dig out, you got to dig down 3 or 4 feet deep down into the mud and the dirt and pull out all that and get the water. Now I get a pump and the pump doesn't work. Now you got to get a bucket and a bucket and on it goes. Life goes on. And yet my brother here comes up here and he doesn't share about like the toil and the, but he shares about something so much greater. And it's about the heart of what God is doing through all of this. And nobody knows. So this morning I asked him, Dave, how'd it go? Well, 4 o'clock yesterday, got her done. Like, praise the Lord. We didn't even have a chance to talk to him. And he tried to, I don't know if you know, if he pocket dialed me or tried to call me, but I was doing something else and didn't even get to communicate. But this is the body working together that just blesses that all these things can happen. The lights stay on. Greg put a light over here so that we could have this screen here and Rhonda could be in the light for you guys. You know, there's just on it goes. And it's all the love and the blessings and the flowers and just the things that happen in the garden and everybody that pours out and pours into each other to make this farm what it is. And the celebration of life that we have together is phenomenal. And so thank you so much, Rhonda. Thank you, Danny, for the opening up and the vision and everything. And Dan, with those beautiful, beautiful shirts that we all get to have. It's just been an amazing, glorious time. And by the way, there was not only 480 potatoes planted that day, but how many onions? Like 1,000? 1,100 onions? 700 onions. And then we got, what else? Cabbages, and we got rose and celery, and on it goes. I mean, green beans, and tons and tons of stuff. yeah, it was just an amazing, it's just like, I'm kind of in awe of how all that happened. Oh, and even our orchard got all cleaned up. Thank you for everybody coming out and raking all the debris out of there, and then the fence, and then, and it just goes on and on. So praise Yahweh, and I'm just grateful for this week and what it meant. And so what I'm getting at is that when we're doing the things like digging and we're, you know, everybody's doing what they're doing here on the farm, when you all come and bless us with coming to these experiences of being a part of what we get to do, it really is life-giving to hear your testimonies. When you're sharing, you know, seeing what God has done, it actually makes life meaningful more than just being in the day-to-day, you know, doing what we do, because sometimes it's easy to lose sight of when we're doing what we do. Unto what? So this is the fruit of the unto what. I'm thankful for that. Oh, bless you, my brother.
I just want to say it. I'm thinking about, we came to this farm and this message was sent and it's still here. I think, here's the thought that came. Exodus 23, I think I'm right. There's a verse in there. I might have the wrong one, but it's the one about the angel of circumcision. What is the angel of circumcision? One is, Brian, what you shared about going into the love of the Father. God loves us more than we can imagine, amen, beyond our capacity. Yet he's saying, I love you. I don't want to leave you alone. It's not to tear you down. It's to build you up, to do a purpose and do a beyond our imagination. And yet, who do we get? He loves us so much.
Amen.
So what you shared, thank you. Yeah, love you. But I'm going, thank you.
Yeah, everybody, amen. Thank you, Yahweh.
I don't know how you follow that. Mine is just a practical thing. I've heard this talked about, that you can tell somebody that I need some time out. And it wasn't until I got to hear Rhonda's story with she and Danny that it finally got into my head. Oh, I can do that. And something happened to me, I don't know if it was this week or last week, and I said to the person, this is the first time I've ever done this. I need some time. I can't do this right now. So the next day, that person was having the same thing. So by then, I was used to somebody saying, I can't do that. So it was like, okay. So I didn't have to get, you know, upset about that. And then we ended up resolving it, and probably so easily, it wasn't even funny, rather than having all the emotions involved in it. It was so good for me to just finally get that. And there was one other thing that came to me. Can't remember. Oh, the smile. I generally meet somebody and I'll look at you and I don't smile until I can figure out who you are and what's going on. I'm not going to give up myself. And now I go everywhere and, hi, how are you? How are you doing? And I love going to the grocery stores. And because Rhonda has taught some of this joy stuff before, and I thought, that's all it takes is just smile to somebody and they might be receptive. I'm in the grocery stores and I'm talking about the Lord with people. I'm not evangelizing them. We're just talking about the Lord. And I ran across this Catholic lady one day, and she's coming up with excuses. You know, she's Catholic. She goes to this. She told me what church she goes to, and I figured from that she's Catholic. So I said, she had something going on in her life, and I said, why don't we pray about that? She said, she looked around, she said, yeah, we could do that. And she and I ended up praying, and then I had something, and I said, well, why don't you pray with me about this? She left there, the two of us, flying, all because of a smile. That. Thank you, Lord.
Susan and Tammy. All right, Susan and then Tammy. It's official.
Thanks,
Lord.
Oh, well, we're glad for the outcome. I stayed straight up. First of all, I just want to say thank you. I'm not going to get teary. I'm not going to do that. I'm sick of crying. I'm not really, but anyway, I just want to say thank you to each and every one, and for doing what you do here, for being who you are here, and I'm getting it together. Just be patient. I grew up on a farm, but the beauty is the Lord is showing me in my years, growing up in sin without Christ, and coming to a farm with Christ and with family, redeemed. It's different. It's a good different, even at, you know, age. You know, there was a situation this week, and it could have been very ugly, but it was the first time in my whole life that I was covered and was not looked at, pointed to, yelled at, and told you what you're not. And everybody around just, so I'm sitting there because I think I have some attachment issues, just saying. I'm like, oh, that's what that is. Because sometimes I can see, but I can feel nothing. And I have to ask myself, you know, should you say something here? Should you feel something? I think I should feel something. Why don't I feel something? But that day I saw, because you were, I don't know what it's called or anything, but that day you said, there's some things you need modeled for it to be. And as I was sitting there and I was thinking, okay, how did you, so I'm not gonna go backwards. This is what I do, right or wrong. You probably have a name for it, but I don't know it yet. Is I'll let what happens gonna happen, and I stop my brain, I stop every, well, it's probably freeze mode. Oh, that's right. And I'll just sit and I'll say, what's this going to look like? What's this going to look like? Okay, we got this. We could do this in the brain, you know. And I just quieted as I watched it being shown to me what it looks like, what you can sit through in a room with how many people in there, no one screaming, no one threatening to hit you or whatever they would do, but to sit there calmly as a certain person is upset. And I sat there and I thought I was going to puke really inside, because I've never sat and had been covered. And he said, Susan, you came from this. I'm going to show you what this is like. And not that it's going to be perfect, and not that I'm not going to make mistakes or other people aren't going to make mistakes, but he's going to show me what it looks like in a healthy way, in a healthy manner. And so that's just like a big deal. That's like a big deal. And then I do want to share this, because we are going to take it and go, right? And take what we learn here and go. And so since I've been here, some of you know this, I was reunited with my brother. We hadn't seen each other in 18 years. And I wasn't going to reach out, because I just, you know, those little butterflies in your tummy thinking, will I be rejected or will he want? And so I just said, I'm going to be in this place at this time for this long. What do you think about that? And he got back to me and he goes, well, we can't come and see you this weekend, but we would like to come up and see you. And I was like, okay, wow, that was on his part. And then learning everything we're learning here,
and how everything is starting to come up and come that back and everything's coming forward. So we sat there for a few hours, but the first thing, he just met Brian, because we've just been married 13 years, and he just met him, but the things he said to him, and he told him everything he'd done wrong as a child, and how I got the bad end, because just situations in the home, mom had, you know, favorites and that kind of thing, and he was a favorite and I wasn't, so. But the guilt and the shame and the things. So he was telling him how, and I couldn't hear him because his wife was talking, and I wanted to be over here and talk with him, so it didn't work. So I said, after that day, I said, hey, what do you think if we came and see you the next weekend? And so he said yes to that. But everything we're learning, and I got to say a few things, and so it's, and then my daughter yesterday, so we're going to get to, it's going to bring life, you know? It's the things we've been praying for so long, for so many years. And then at this point in time in my life, I said, Jesus, why couldn't it happen back here? You know, instead of, you know, but I guess who cares? It doesn't matter. It's his timing. And heck, maybe I'll have to be 120. Heck, who knows?
Amen. Well said.
I was over there talking to Daddy, trying to figure out what to share, because there's so much. And as everyone was sharing, I was thinking... As everyone was sharing, I was thinking about when I came back here, you know, the first week, and how I was excited to get here, and I was so tired, but I knew I needed to be here. And Rhonda came out and welcomed me and said, "Welcome home." Mm-hmm. And it jumped into my spirit that am I really home? Can I accept that? And I do accept that. That I am home, and that this is a safe place. And I was just thinking this morning, I was like, I haven't felt that way since my mom passed, because my mom was kind of like my home. So I was like, wow, it's amazing how God's redeeming a lot of things these last 3 weeks for me. And a lot of my God encounters are basically building upon each other. Going all the way back to the wound, and God redeeming that and blessing my life and giving me back my voice. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, yeah. So God is so awesome, man. I mean, our last God encounter, I mean, I used to be that little girl that was hiding in that closet too, Rhonda. Trying not to breathe, trying not to be seen, because I didn't want to get hurt. And then in my God encounter, Yeshua came in there with me. He was there with me. He showed me that he was there with me, and that it was okay to breathe. And so I started breathing and smelling his scent and feeling his delight. And then he's like, do you really trust me? And I was like, yeah. He said, it's okay to come out of the closet. And so I like danced out of the closet, right? And it was just free. I mean, it was just freedom, right? So, and it, literally freedom. It was just free. And then I saw him like seal it up, man. It like disappeared. The closet disappeared. So it's like no going back. No more hiding. And this has been an amazing time away. Amazing redemption what the enemy tried to steal from me. And I'm just in awe. I always ask Daddy to keep me in awe, and he keeps me in awe of what he's doing in and through me, in awe of what I see him do through other people. It just blesses me. You know, it just blesses me to see God at work. And so I'm just very grateful for everyone here, because it's been wonderful to actually have real relationships where you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to perform. You can just be. It's okay to rest and not feel guilty about it, and to just enjoy, you know, enjoy Yahweh, enjoy his body, enjoy actually being here. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, we have about 13 minutes, so come on. Come on. Come on, Karen. You were up. Come on, Karen.
I just want to start speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You are loved. We are loved. Hallelujah. We are loved. Each of you has value beyond what you understand or what you know. You were created for His glory. You are created for His glory, and His love is just filling each and every one of you by His Spirit. It doesn't matter what you're going through or who you think you are or who you think you are not. It does not matter what you have done or what you have done. It doesn't matter what your body looks like or what you can do or what you cannot do. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are sons and you are daughters of the living God, and you are nothing less. And He wants you to hear. He wants you to know. He wants you to be all that He has created you to be. So today and throughout this whole time is a time of receiving. It's a time of changing. It's a time of growing. It's a time of letting go. Hallelujah. It's a time of healing. It's a time of being wounded. All for His glory. And He says, come together. Come together in a greater way. This is so beautiful and it's so amazing. But it's like, come together in a greater way. Those barriers are coming down. Those barriers are coming down. Coming out of the closet. Those parts are coming together. We're coming one to one with our Father and looking into His eyes. We're ministering as facilitators. We're ministering in the farm. We're ministering love. We're doing life. We're doing life. But He has so much more. We're in a time of acceleration. We're a time of laying down and receiving. And there's no limitations. There's no reservations. There are no restrictions in what He can do, because He has no boundaries in where He wants to take us. So Isaiah 54, 1 and 2, stretch out your tent pegs, O beloved. Stretch out your tent pegs. What I'm hearing Him say is dig them up, pull them up, pull up those tent pegs and let them fly, because He wants to take them. He wants to take those 10 pegs and expound our boundaries and expound our borders. And He does that step by step. The more that He gets things out of us and the more that He puts into us. So there. Wow. Thank everybody so much.
Anybody else? 8 minutes.
What an amazing time this morning. I missed a little bit of it, but I'm going to go back and listen. Because I heard some good things were happening. And definitely. And I just love just the times we all have together when people come. And this 3 weeks has been amazing, like it's been said. And just relaxing, getting to know people, and letting the Lord work, right? And just watching God encounters grow, and even in this, the group that I had. And I couldn't pass up this opportunity, if space permitted, here I am, to bring glory to our King, right? Like this farm, this ministry, right? It's our Father's farm, but he had it in his heart long before you guys even prayed and had the idea what he wanted to do here, you know? And encountering you, learning like how you encountered the Lord way back when, and the Lord grew with you on that, right, in you, and then you started sharing that. Like, look at the fruit. Like, I'm not the same person. And how many can raise their hand and say you're not the same person even when you came here 3 weeks ago? I mean, right? Like, that's just part of who He is. And I just think it's goes far beyond. Like, we know, like, what He can do for us. That's part of what we, oh, heal me, or bring this up, or, you know, get this out of the way, and all that. But that place of encountering Him, to know Him, like, to know that we belong to Him, like, and to bring us back and bring me back into relationship with people. Like, I was so detached when I came here, right, in my past, so detached. And so look what He's done in a sense of just that much right there, you know, as far as being with people and watching everybody else get in a hard place and allow the Lord to work and show you something different, you know, and being obedient to just sit in that place. I just can't say enough, like, right, to what, to being in God's family and not only His body of His Christ, but with Him and Yeshua and the Holy Spirit. I think part of what I wanted to say too is to encourage myself, but also like to encourage all of you, like in starting out and as you've been doing God encounters and even before you came, but just learning more and go to facilitate others, like how important it is for us to stay encouraged, like, and just take your time, like just allow the Lord to work in those places, you know, of not getting in a hurry, but what He has for us each day. And I heard Danny say it, like, it's about, like, praying throughout the day and encountering Him to where we're not just having a session, but our life is that session, right? Like, that's where the real fruit comes from, you know? I just think that it's just because He has so much to give, like, right? I just, His love, right? And not only, like Yeshua came, and before the foundations of the world, like Aloha Revelation, right? He knew before, and Jesus said yes to come, right? And because He knows we needed a Savior. But I see this in my life in encountering the Lord. Like, He also came, He knew I needed a Savior, right? And for to have the eternal promise to be with Him. But also He knew that my life needed to be redeemed, like, so that I can get free, so that I can get stuff out of me and get the truth, so the truth can set me free and know Him, right? So that's what happens inside of me when I'm encountering Him, is that I also have more room for Him, so I can die to self and become the bride. That's the greater reason as far as being in relationship with Him. It's not even for us to have a better day and not be in fear, you know, and be feel fine when I go to the store, when I buy, what can I buy or whatever. But it's like that greater purpose to live like Christ. So I'm even getting more revelation, like, as I go on in encountering Him, of not just what needs to happen in my life or my past or whatever, but who He is and who He created me to be, to suffer and to be like Christ. And without Him, I can't do that, you know? And I just think that that's just incredible, like how we can still become more intimate with him. And I had a phone call yesterday at 3 o'clock. I knew that somewhere along the way, this weekend I was going to have.
At least you're getting hit.
I had a phone call from a friend from my childhood that I, you know, when I left California where the Lord got me out, I kind of shut the door and didn't ever look back. And so she'd been looking for me, wondering if I was okay for like 13 years now, every year, you know, on my birthday. And so when I felt the Lord, I just felt like I was ready to just kind of reach out, you know, or when she reached out this last few months ago. And they're in the area. And so they called me at 3 o'clock saying, we'll be here in 2 hours. We're in your area. And this is yesterday. My foot's pounding, and I'm doing stuff outside, and it's way better. But it's just like, and I'm like, how do I switch gears? And two, you know, what do I even do? And like the Lord just, I just pause, and I'm just like, Lord, what do you want? You know, and just like, that's what he's after, that we just are, right? And it's just a miracle that I actually, you know, not fearing my past anymore or even somebody from my past coming to where I'm in, I'm able to share who he is, wow, what he does here. Their story, the farm story, y'all's story, our brain conference, you know, and the Lord comes, and they're just eager. They're listening. They're asking questions, you know. So it's not about anything about what was, but what does he want to do now in our lives with the people in front of us? And then we know that by knowing him, and we just can move in that place, right? I mean, just incredible, right? And then I get to share him with my house. I mean, I get to bring my past into my present. And then the relationship with Dee and Kelly, Tammy was even up there, and Deborah, and even the kids came for a minute, Susanna. And, I mean, just like I didn't have fear or worry or just, it was just like, the Lord. And then, you know, Rhonda said, bring them, you know. And like, here they are standing in my dining room, you know, from a traumatic past, not necessarily this person, but, I mean, and, you know, and the Lord's redemption and his love. Wow. Is pouring all over them, and the testimony from these people that are happy to be with them, and they're happy to be with them, and just so glad and thankful, and like, wow, and look at to see what the Lord's doing. It was about him, you know, it had nothing to do with me, you know. So those moments that we're encountering him, it's to strengthen us and to free us to partner with what he wants, right? Just beautiful stuff. I just think it was just more than I can even imagine, you know, just getting out of the way and just, you know, what's next, you know? So I just really, really just couldn't not say something. Wow. Yeah. Today. And I have one more thing. I feel he just keeps doing this inside of me. And I know when that happens, I'm like, oh, you want me to, you know, I think there, you know, and it's just a little song. But it's not my song, okay? And it's his. And so it's a prayer. All right, but I may need a little participation if that's okay. But I've never sung it before. And so I'm kind of like, we'll need some of this, right? Okay? So just keep doing that. That would be great. And this is all for you, okay, from him. All right?
Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in our hearts. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in our hearts. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. As we forgive the ones who've sinned against us, forgive them. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in our hearts. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done.
on earth as in heaven, right here in our hearts. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us, as we forgive the ones who've sinned against us. Forgive them, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you, Lord. Let your kingdom come.
We pray that over everyone. Release that in the name of Yeshua.
Oh, and we're trying to learn to play that.
You know, not that we need instruments, but we kind of have fun with them. Well, so, you know, Monday maybe, I don't know.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Cassandra.
You know, I came up to share, you know, we're talking about worship, and we're talking about worshiping all day and worshiping in our God encounters and that kind of a thing. This past time here, last couple of weeks, you guys have been worshiping because you've been planting food in the King's garden. God owns this earth. This is, we call this our Father's farm. So you've planted onions and potatoes and just different things and harvested stuff from the garden, his garden. We get to partake of it because he doesn't need to eat. We do. But he did give us a word for worship. And it's the only one I can remember how to spell because it's real short. A-B-A-D. And it means to worship with work. And you can look it up. It's in the Bible. Worship with work. So the work that we're doing, you're worshiping Yahweh. You're being a servant for Yahweh. And so even though you're worshiping and singing in song like this or in your God encounters, when you're out there worshiping and working, you're still worshiping. Whether you're fixing something in the computers or planting onions, which is not my favorite plant. I don't particularly like onions. Rhonda loves them. So we have two different meals. She has hers with onion. I have mine without. Because I'm actually allergic to them, so I can't eat them or smell them or be around where they're treated. So I just want to remind you that whatever you do, whatever job you have, whether you're plumbing or you're just teaching somebody, you're still worshiping Yahweh. You're still worshiping. Remember that. I always remember because I'm not having a bad day, A-B-A-D. I'm having a good day, God day, because the only thing good comes from God. So I'm not having a bad day. I'm having a good day. Cassandra.
I want to just, because the teacher in me can't stand it. That's 100% true if you're working for his glory.
Yeah.
If you're out there working to make yourself rich or wealthy or because you want a title or be noticed or patted on the back or whatever, that's not worship. So, yeah. Okay, Cassandra.
When Sally was up here singing, everyone's clapping. I just wanted to share something that I saw. I was seeing the Father and all his children, you know, everyone's clapping, and all of a sudden I felt that feeling of like, we're his children before him, and he's just inviting us, you know, saying, ask me. And thinking about them. I started getting into my left brain a little bit and thinking about what we're supposed to ask in Yeshua's name, all these different things. And he's like, ask me. You know, just like a kid's not thinking about how sometimes they're supposed to ask something. You know, a two-year-old doesn't really understand how she's supposed to ask something sometimes. But there's that invitation just of the Father just saying, ask me. And so I just believe whatever it is that might be on our hearts, you know, whatever the Lord has us walking through right now, like, we can can just go to him, and we're just learning even more in a deeper way, just to go to him and ask, you know, whatever it is that he has.
And we know that if we ask him for bread, he's not going to give us a stone. You know, he's just not. That's what kind of papa he is. So, all right. Anybody else right before we close? Okay. Aloha.
Okay. First, I want to say just to keep everybody at peace when they see this, or they see, you know, what I wear, it's because I had a stroke, you know, a few years ago. Okay, and but I asked him. I go, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Nothing hurts. And then. I was thinking, I am healed. I am healed. He did heal me, you know? It doesn't hurt. It just went, all of it just goes limp. When you have a stroke, I found out because I had a stroke. I didn't know anything about a stroke. So everything just went limp. All of a sudden, my muscle went. So basically, yeah, I lost all muscle in it, and I noticed that. So it's gonna. Next time you see me, probably it'll be stronger. And yeah, because I know I was healed. You see, I finally got that. I got that here. I go, oh, I was healed. I just needed to get it back. You know. Okay, got it. And that's second thing is. I'm so happy being in each one of your presence because you're my brothers and sisters. Like, seriously, like it's closer than family bonds, okay? Because all my brothers and sisters, I've come from a family of six, okay? And two half-brothers, but family of six, and none of them are true believers. So my brothers and sisters... When I told God in my living room here was about a year and a half, 2 years, about a year and a half ago, I was in my living room behind the couch. My daughter was laying down right there in front of me on a couch. And I said, God, I'm lonely. I'm lonely. And then I hear him say, who's my family? I'm like, huh? I was like, huh? Who's my family? I'm like, no, and then he says again, who's my family? And I'm like, huh? And then I close my eyes, and then all of a sudden, I have a big smile on my face, left to right. My family showed me they're white, they're black, they're Jewish, they're Egyptian, they're everywhere. And I got so happy. I get this big smile on my face. I'm like, oh, I got family. I got family everywhere. Everywhere. Yes, this is family. This is true family. Okay? I have brothers and sisters who don't believe yet. But I have other brothers and sisters out there who can minister to them unless he calls me directly to minister to them. Okay, so I just wanted to say that this is family. Yeah, yeah.
That's good news, right? We're never alone. Oh, what a great 3 weeks! What a great time! So rich, so good. It's been wonderful being with all of you and us being getting together. Love it. Gonna miss y'all. So I know some of you will be back and et cetera. We're excited about et ceteras.
And I think that's it. Okay? So let's pray and close out. Father, we just so appreciate who you are. The way you love us, the way you take care of us. The fact that you didn't leave us here alone. You gave us this great big family. And that you have established yourself as a good, good father. A great friend, great brother, great teacher, a great comforter. There's no one like you. No one even comes close. We're so appreciative. We're going to appreciate you both now and forever, for every age that's to come. And that will only increase. Thank you that you desire to be with us more than we desire to be with you. And we do ask you, Father, that you would increase. And as you increase, we will decrease. It's not by might, not by my own strength, not by my own power, but it's by the Holy Spirit. So glad that you didn't make it such that we have to figure it out or we have to somehow overcome in our own strength. But we simply get to throw our arms up and say, I surrender, I quit, I can't. But you can. What a gift. What a gift. Now, Father, we ask for each person here who will be heading back to their places of living. And we ask for their protection, and we ask you to cause the seeds that have been planted to grow and multiply and bring forth fruit that remains for your honor and your glory and your pleasure. Thank you, Father. You are good all the time. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Oh, and Father, for the encounters happening this afternoon, we ask that you would come in powerful ways, exactly as each person needs. And we thank you in advance for doing that. Be with us during our lunchtime and bless our food, bless our fellowship, and be glorified. In the name of Yeshua, amen.